This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Lydia, I don't think you should play any of that sound anymore of me laughing at Bobby. I sound like an idiot. Gosh, do I always laugh like that? Don't answer, Howdy. Stay away from the mic.
Bobby, how dare you? Go outside and go hit somebody.
No, that one's
that was
not
me.
It, thankfully.
That was me giggling.
Yeah, your giggling is one thing, but my laughing is horrible.
Well, he's the one who said it. What am I supposed to do?
No, that's all you.
That's all me.
I'm fine with you laughing. No, it's
really?
Like,
my laugh's okay?
I feel like I had sort of that fake media laugh on a few of those cuts. I don't like the one about playing Jimmy Graham and Richard Sherman. I feel right. Like I'm kind of giving a fake media laugh. I want out. If that's who I'm going to be, I might have to quit. Like, I don't want to become that guy.
So maybe that's just your alter ego. Media laugh guy.
Maybe. I might be that. It still would be better than Mr. Unlimited.
I'm Mr. Unreal Laugh.
I don't want any part of that. Oh,
I need
terrible.
To hear that.
No, you don't
it
want to
it. It was fake?
Yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like the way it sounded. I heard a
Did
laughing.
Did it feel fake? Or were you forcing it?
At the time? No, because I thought it was funny that right. He would want to go out and play against Richard
Sherman. Are you going to play a little offense on that day? Like, see if we can just put you on the outside?
Maybe I get on special teams or something if I see he's out there.
Isn't that terrible?
I know he likes to play one of the gunners or something Dude. Like that. So maybe I just accidentally get on the field.
Maybe.
Just accidentally, not on purpose or anything.
You get a chance to see Jimmy this year.
Yeah, see Jimmy. Jimmy would be fun, too. You know, see if he fly a plane into the game or something.
Look, that's not funny. Why am I laughing like that? Shut up, Mike. You sound ridiculous.
Can we just isolate his
no.
First
Mr. Laugh track our show. Yeah, Mr. Bro, Laugh.
You guys are going to put me on with Eric Wedge and Scott Service and right. Everybody else with a terrible laugh
no,
on this
at least
show.
Theirs is genuine. Yours is phony.
Wasn't that awful?
That was fake.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. I'm so sorry. I'd like to formally apologize to all the listeners and anybody who was listening yesterday when Bobby Wagner was on. I'll tell you what. Maybe that's why we forgot to ask him about Earl. Like, I mean, we got
we'll
all
see what MLB thinks today, I guess. Sometimes the younger guys, it takes them a while to figure that out. Well, I think it'd be different if we had 4 games to go, but you did say, you know, we have 34.
All right, that's enough. Maybe that's why we forgot. I mean, Earl's like the biggest topic of conversation all offseason. We don't ask him about it. And it leads to Bobby, of course, you've heard the sound by now, just you know, essentially interrupting at the end of the interview. He's realizing this thing's going to end, and the two idiots interviewing him aren't going to get to the biggest story of the day and the only thing he wants to talk about. So he took matters into his own hands.
Before we get off, I would like to take this time to shout out to Earl Thomas. You know, I think he's an amazing player. I think he's an amazing person. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. And just let him know that, you know, we over here, you know, wishing for the best in that situation. And we're thinking about him. And I just want him to know that from this end.
Okay, so hold on a second. Since we're being real here and you're calling yourself out on a laugh, I'll be real about something. When he said, before we're done here, I want to say something, what were you thinking he was going to say?
I don't know. I don't know that anything went through my head.
You had no idea what he was going to
I thought it was going to be a charity plug. Yes, actually, that
went through my mind also. Like, oh, is he going to plug something? Bobby's got all these new things going on. He's working with like 5 different new companies. He's the new voice of the Seahawks. Like,
I think he's working with the Boys and Girls Club in Renton, too.
Yeah, so Alberta, like any of those things.
Beacon, the whole thing.
Any of those things could have been a possibility. What did you think?
Yeah,
well,
this just shows how self-absorbed I can be sometimes. I thought he was going to say something about him and I.
Oh, no.
Because I told you about the production meeting we were in a few years ago, right? Before one of the preseason games and Bobby was in there. And I was sitting in the room. And, I mean, he wasn't quite like Jim Mora. But he's like, you know, there's some people sitting here that have been like critics. People were like looking around the room like, who's left? You know, it's not NASA. It's not Dave. It's not Kurt Menefee. There's only kind of maybe one person that has sometimes been critical of his game.
Okay.
So I thought he was going to say, hey, I want to get something off my chest. We're good. You know, I understand you got a job to do. So that's how self-absorbed, self-wrapped I was. I did not think in any way he was going to go down the Earl Thomas train.
No, that was a complete surprise. So why is it that he wanted to send that message to Earl?
He needs to know that we appreciate him over here because he's a talent that you're not going to ever see another person like him you know, ever again play the football field. There's nobody that's going to be able to start from one side of the hash and be able to get all the way to the other side of the field.
No, I love everything you had to say yesterday, and there's a bunch of different angles we can take on this. Eventually, we'll get to Earl and what it means for the team and all that. But let me just start with this one. I know Danny wrote about it. Other people did as well. This is not brain surgery. I'm not pretending to be a genius from figuring this out.
That was my fake laugh.
Is that what I did yesterday?
Yes.
Dude, stop.
I know.
Stop. That is enough.
Horrible.
Stop doing that. It was awful when I did it. I don't need you doing it. The text messages are coming out, too. Jeez. Pretty self-absorbed, Salk. Nobody cared about your laugh. All right. Well, that doesn't mean I wasn't listening to myself and trying to get better. Well, don't be a jerk about it.
Lydia, what's your fake laugh? Do you have a fake laugh you ever used?
Salk, you don't always sound like that, but you are always an idiot. All right. I mean, that's fair. That I will own.
Okay. I'm sorry. I interrupted your train of thought.
This is not brain surgery. I'm not a rocket scientist, but Bobby's becoming the man. I mean, this process started last year. Remember, he is becoming the leader of this team and certainly the leader of this defense. And I don't know that there's any question about that. With Cam Chancellor likely to be done, with Richard Sherman on his way out, with Michael Bennett on his way out, with Cliff Averill, another leader in that group, already on his way out. I mean, doesn't it just feel like Bobby is taking over the reins of this defense?
Well, I don't think there's any question. And I think Danny or others have pointed out that Brady Henderson yesterday with us pointed out that the move to bring Ken Norton back, which Bobby spoke to, and there's some consistency there, that Ken Norton went to be a D coordinator for the first time in his life. And you know what? Didn't go great. Took some lumps and came back a little bit of a different guy through that experience of 2 years. And Ken Norton walked into an environment here that's very different over the last two seasons, where there was a lot of self-absorption, where there were a lot of guys with their own LLC and not just Football Northwest LLC. And I think, you know, they all now kind of collide and work through this thing together, and there is no question that Ken Norton, middle linebacker, defensive coordinator, Big Bark, is going to ask even more of Bobby and right alongside KJ.
But Bobby's exactly who I want to be the leader of the future of this Seahawks team. And by the way, I think it was necessary to move those guys out in order to make it happen. We started to see it last year, Bobby kind of out front in front of some of the media things in places that he had never really been before. But I'm reminded of the conversations we had when Matt Hasselbeck was leaving here. Remember we started to do the show. He had the 1 year with Maury, the next year with Pete. And then that after that season, there was a question, do they bring Matt back again? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of love for Matt, a lot of fear and trepidation about what the future would look like without Matt Hasselbeck. And I think what we thought, and certainly what I remember thinking, was you got to move on.
Yeah.
And it's not a shot at Matt. He served this community in an incredible way, but they needed to pave the way for new leaders in that locker room, and you needed to create a vacuum for somebody else to step up and fill it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very much what has happened this offseason with Richard and Michael and the rest of those guys leaving, is you create a vacuum, and then you fill that vacuum with Bobby Wagner, which, by the way, is perfect. Who is more physical, more humble, more joyous when he plays the game of football? I mean, I keep coming back to some of the conversation we had with him about all the things he likes to do out on a football field.
Mm-hmm.
This is great joy for playing the game.
Which is now?
Is it?
It's pretty fun.
You like that better than just a knockout shot?
Nah, knockout shot's pretty good.
You like that better?
QB sack.
Play at the goal line where you stop somebody from getting into the end zone.
That was good. That was Arizona. That one's fun because it's like if your back bends at any given point, it's a touchdown, and we lose the game.
Yeah, and if you could see his face as he was talking about it, you would have just seen the joy bubbling out. It was amazing.
Yeah, answered very similarly to Vita Vea when he asked Vita that question about what he loves doing.
That was less amazing. Yeah, Vita paused for 30 seconds and then said, just playing, man.
Good for you, though, man. You went back at it. You're like, I like this pitch. I like this question.
Here was Vita's response to the same answer.
Vita, what's your favorite thing to do on a football field?
I guess just playing.
Now that's not fake laughter at all. That is 100% real
just
laughter.
Just playing.
Contrast that with Bobby, who's got like 8 of his favorite plays all come up at once, and I don't know. That's exactly what you're looking for, don't you think?
But dude, you went for it. Like,
why wouldn't you? Because it was a good question. It's not my fault. Vito is like basically has no pulse.
He was waking up. All right, it was our fault. It was my fault.
It's your fault.
Having him on at 9 a.m.
That's exactly right.
That is 100% the quarterback's responsibility.
Yes, it was
totally my fault.
And you were warned about it.
And Bobby is going to become the voice of this team. There is no question about that. Yesterday was just the beginning of that. He has shout out to Earl, trying to bring Earl back into this family and understand the role and the responsibility he still has. Yeah, that was a good day yesterday. Even if it was full of fake laughter.
7-10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Seahawks had their first day of organized team activities, phase three, yesterday. And as expected, Earl Thomas did not show up. He was not in attendance, did not report. Bobby Wagner, however, joined our show yesterday and sent a nice message to Earl saying that he's appreciated by his teammates. I thought it was a really classy move by Bobby Wagner. I think it leads us in a bunch of directions. One, this is becoming Bobby's team, especially in the defensive side of the ball. I think that's great. Considering his humility, his physicality, the joy with which he plays, that is 100% the image that I would love the Seahawks to be built in. Bobby Wagner, in so many ways, the perfect Seahawk moving forward. But also, there was a part of it to me that was very reminiscent of when all of them jumped in Richard Sherman's face and started hopping up and down after he went off the rails against Atlanta. And that didn't work, but it was cool. And yeah, I'd never seen it before. And I would put this right there with it. I've never seen a player take the opportunity without being asked to reach out through the media to his teammate and publicly let him know how much he is appreciated.
Yep.
I hope it works better than the hopping in Richard Sherman's face did, but I thought it was a brilliant, brilliant move on Bobby's part.
Yeah, I would agree. I would add one more thing and one more little angle to this. This is also Bobby knowing Earl so unbelievably well, as they've been together for now 7 years. And truly, if there's a player on that team, if you said rank the 53 guys, who needs to feel appreciated? Who needs to feel the love of his teammates, right? Let love, and to feel appreciated. Really, a lot of Earl's comments down at that Pro Bowl. Like, I'm not coming back there until, you know, they express their appreciation, their love for me. I'm paraphrasing. But Bobby knows the way 2-9 is wired. He also knows the way he can play. And that was his plea to make sure that Earl Thomas doesn't miss training camp and can hit the ground running week number one.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, one small piece of news coming out of those OTAs. Richard Sherman obviously now departed, and so Shaquille Griffin looks like he's going to be elevated to take over as the Seahawks' number one cornerback. What does that mean? Well, specifically in the Seahawks' defense, it means he was lined up on the left side, so the left corner, which is where Richard Sherman played. If you remember last year when Sherman was hurt, Shaquille stayed on the right side and Byron Maxwell kind of slotted into Richard's old spot. No, that's not going to happen anymore. They deem that left spot to be more important, and so that's where Shaquille Griffin is going to play. So a year after being drafted as in the third round, after how many cornerbacks went before him and big names that we had talked about and heard about, and certainly we weren't the only one, Shaquille Griffin has now become the Seahawks' number one cornerback, or at the very least is being given an opportunity to do it. I think that's really good news for the future, and let three or four guys battle on the other side. That's the competition you're supposed to have.
Yeah, we'll be out there on Thursday. That's the day that the OTA is open, the organized team activity is open to the media, and a few things do jump out as the Seahawks put some videos, and yes, Shaquille playing that right side is one of them. Number two is they weren't helmets yesterday. The left side. And the right side, right? He's playing the
defensive left side.
Defensive left side, the offensive right corner. And I'll dig into Blue 42 why that matters. But they were in helmets yesterday, man, and they were flying around. And here's what you need to know. Bobby said for the first time all offseason, they could actually be on the field together. That is phase three. Instead of just lifting and running in phase one, and instead of phase two where the offense is on the field and then they've got to shuttle off before the defense go on the field, phase three is actual practice. It was full speed in helmets yesterday. The guys were competing. They were getting after it. And I can't wait to watch them and be a part of it come Thursday.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, the Mariners look to get right back onto the horse and keep on winning as they open up a three-game series in Oakland tonight. Mike Leake will be on the mound. Trevor Cahill goes for the A's. Actually been really good this year. 2.79 ERA in five starts. Though his record is just 1-2. By the way, the A's are kind of good.
Yeah, a couple games over 500.
Yeah, what's the deal with that? The A's aren't supposed to be good. They're supposed to be the joke of the division who you just kind of keep stepping over. Instead, they're 25-22. They may be in last place in a really good division. They're 25-22. So
second to last. Texas is bringing out the bottom. But yes,
they're in fourth place.
You know, and this is one of those kind of dangerous little series here where you won three in a row. You took advantage of home. They snuck this little three-game trip down to Oakland amidst a whole lot more home games, a whole lot more home cooking. After this series, there will be nobody there. We will hear that stupid trumpet or drum or whatever that guy plays in that Coliseum that is sewage infested. And you've got to create and bring your own energy against a team that you've had some success. You've won both series against them at home. You got to go into their place and try to do what you've done all season long, and that's win series.
All right, three things you need to know every day at 7:10. Text messages, of course, 7:10, 7:10, powered by Coors Light. Vita Vea says one, the pulse of Seattle sports. That's probably not the phrase we'd use to describe the great Vita Vea. All right. Phone lines will be open a little bit today. We'll have some conversation about the Mariners and where they're at, 206-421-3776. As you know, I am a happy, positive force in this world, which is why I created Which is Better, a new segment we've been trying here. Yep. Brock, in his dark, depressed, and despondent way, has found the complete opposite of that.
True.
And he will lead that coming up in 15 minutes after the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
Yeah, I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Did I miss something? When did positive Brock Hewitt become the voice of negativity?
You'll have to wait about 15 minutes from now. You will see just how nasty Brock has become.
Yeah. And you may be a part of that segment, John. There may be some sound of you. I got to get some stuff off my chest. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. What did I do? Because I won't be able to hear it here in Atlanta.
Really, it was a positive. You battled through your cough that day. You know, you were. John, you just don't quit. That's what it is. You're just an absolute bulldog. So we're going to have some fun with that. You made your way down to owners' meetings, huh?
Sure did.
What's the vibe?
Looking forward to it. Well, I mean, it's going to be pretty fast-paced because, you know, they're going to vote two Super Bowls in, New Orleans and Atlanta. They'll vote the kickoff return rules in, which actually in a lot of ways I think favors Seattle this year. I think that they could get an advantage out of that. They'll vote in the expansion of...
Well, hold on. Let's back up. Why?
Why? Because what you'll probably see is that now they'll have three returners out there, one of them being Tyler Lockett, one being Rashard Penny, and a third to be named later. And with the kickoff team now having no running start and eight guys up within 15 yards of them, I think there's a decent chance that there's going to be a little bit more room when for them to be able to get some returns because, you know, they got a Pro Bowl guy in Tyler Lockett. They were the third best team in the league last year as far as starting after kickoffs are 26.8. So I think they might get a little bit of advantage as far as where they're going to start after kickoff returns. The key is making sure the defense doesn't give up many kick scores so they have the kickoff returns. But I think there'll be a little bit of an edge there that could favor Seattle.
What else is on the table for voting here at these owners' meetings, John?
They're going to vote on David Tepper here in a couple hours to be the owner of the Carolina Panthers. They also, you know, get an expansion of the replay so that they can study anything that they want to see as far as ejections, if the lowering the helmet, you know, that'll be approved. They'll have discussions today in a 2.5-hour session about what to do about the guys that are protesting the standing in the national anthem. They won't have any vote on that. And then just talk more finances and everything else. And naturally, they've got to talk about gambling because Roger Goodell came out with his statement as far as the 4 points that he wants Congress to help out in because he at least wants some regularities to be put in there by Congress. And that'll be part of the discussion.
How much ego is in that meeting? Like when they actually have a conversation, forgetting about a vote, but when they just sit down to discuss something like gambling or like the anthem stuff, how much ego is in that room at that time?
Oh, a lot. Because, again, you're talking about many of the richest people in the world, and the more they feel comfortable with going to more owners' meetings, you know, that's why a Jerry Jones is always going to be on top of it, you know, saying different things. I mean, you know, this is going to be kind of one sad thing because Jerry Richardson, who always has had a pretty big voice in these owners' meetings, he's making his last visit because he's selling the Panthers.
Oh, wow.
But, no, the egos play big into this. I mean, a lot of times, and you can see with some of the stories, like particularly over the last year with Bob McNair and all that, they'll speak their minds up, and a lot of times their egos will show.
John, I know you were traveling yesterday. Did you get a chance to catch some of Bobby Wagner with us? And what did you make of his kind of presentation, his thoughts sent out to Earl Thomas?
Yeah, very curious because, you know, it sounds as though he was trying to make the push and at least the pitch to just like, hey, come on board, Earl, we need you. You're an important part of the team. And, you know, I guess what you're wondering, because I know this was a topic that you brought up on baseball, you know, with the young guys in the outfield and at second base and everything else starting to emerge on the Mariners, is there a little bit of a transition on the Seahawks? And it's pretty defined because now this has gone from a secondary dominated team as far as leadership now to a linebacker team. And so the leader of the linebackers, Bobby Wagner, reaching out to Earl Thomas, one of the remaining guys from the secondary, to make sure that he's on board. So, yeah, I thought that was very interesting, very curious. But I guess the unfortunate thing right now, with no Earl Thomas there, they don't know where he stands.
Hey, you know, with all the conversation with Earl Thomas here, Aaron Donald may be a much bigger problem down in Los Angeles. He was a no-show at OTAs. How ugly could that get?
As ugly as most of these contract negotiations can go. I mean, at some they say the magic words that they're making progress, but progress is meaningless until you get a deal. But you notice it's all, except for Odell Beckham Jr., most of the ones who have some contract issues are staying away. You know, Tom Brady being the surprise, Rob Gronkowski, no surprise, Aaron Donald, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you go through the list of players that are trying to get for the big dollars, and other than maybe Khalil Mack being at the Oakland practice with Al Davis, or with John Gruden, you know, most of the guys that have issues are staying away. And then, of course, the bigger judgment is going, are they going to attend the mandatory, which, of course, comes up in the mini camps in June.
Do the Seahawks sniff around on Richie Incognito as far as his play?
I think they sniff, but I don't know if they take a big sniff. You know, it's one where, you know, he probably will ask for too much money than they would be willing to spend. But again, he's a Pro Bowl caliber talent that comes at a position. I don't know if you want to call it need, because again, you know, there's still Ethan Posick there at the guard position. You know, is he there to be able to do it? But I mean, I think you got to look at him because he is a talent.
Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
If you had an alter ego, an identity that was somewhat opposite of your normal personality, what would your alter ego be?
Jim Moore, probably. Maybe Jim Moore. I mean, you know, because... I mean, don't you think that would be my alter ego? As much as I love Jim, because you know he's not going to be into the database stuff. I am. You know, he's going to be a little bit more of the fun nature. I'm more of the serious nature. Yeah. Jim Morby, I think, wouldn't he be an ideal alter ego
for a lot of people? Probably.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking about myself because, again, and we've been such good friends for so many years that, he's different than I am, and I guess maybe that could be the alter ego.
John, thank you. Enjoy the owners' meetings, and, of course, you can hear Jim Moore today at 3 o'clock, as every day, on Danny, Dave, and Moore. You can hear John there as well at 4 o'clock. John, we'll talk to you tomorrow, of course, 7:15 every day with JC. Wow, there you go.
I think that's a solid poll.
Do people understand the alter ego thing? How many people have actually heard the Russell?
Well, not many.
Mr. Unlimited?
There was a chance yesterday you wouldn't let these guys play.
Are we going to play some of it?
I would think you have to play a little.
I don't want to, though, because it's so horrible. I'm worried that if too many people hear the Russell Mr. Unlimited
thing,
that he won't be able
to
be a franchise quarterback.
Molly, kind of on your side.
It's terrible.
Yeah, she was kind of, and she was on your side if there's no real upside to playing it. But she's also on your side because this morning when I was leaving the house pretty early, she was kind of wrestling around. And I went over to her and I said, "Hey, happy anniversary."
That's nice of you.
And she didn't even know it was her anniversary.
Oh no!
So kind of like you in many ways.
Are you now worried about the future of your relationship?
Losing the memory, losing the importance of dates, losing all.
I have all that. I've never had a problem with that. I know my anniversary. I don't forget things like that.
Is today really May 22nd?
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Today's May 22nd, 19
But at least
years.
She didn't say, like, is today really May 29th?
Are you?
And you're like, wait, true. That's not even our anniversary.
Are you contemplating what the future means now for you and Molly?
No.
Thinking about taking back your gift?
No, not all right. at all. No, I felt pretty good about the roses I left on the in the bathroom.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We will play you this sound from Russell, which I don't think is a good idea. And honestly, it's like nails on a chalkboard. But I think you have to hear it so that you understand what's going on at the top of the Seahawks organization right now. It's important. And then Brock and I will completely switch roles for a short amount of time, all entirely Brock's idea. It's next. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
I want the top.
His music is very triumphant. The sound I'm about to play is exactly the opposite of that. I don't know what to make of all this. It's Brock and Salk. 710 ESPN Seattle. I asked if people had heard this yet. And if you're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore yesterday, obviously you have.
They played in its entirety.
I know, and I don't think I can do that.
No, we will.
It's 59
not.
Seconds. We're I have yet to make it through all 59 seconds. Each time I try to listen, I make it through about three, but I will try to go longer than that this time.
We're not going to do that.
This was Russell's tweet. He had a video of this the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's again, I'll play it. You guys can
just
make
a little bit
mind.
Of it.
Here's a little
just
bit.
A little.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell.
I don't know if I can.
Okay, that's good. That's fine.
Sort of like.
Right, you get the gist of it.
Sort of like the last play of the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know that I can keep playing it.
But you at least got
to
play
the Russell, the one you guys love to know.
The one you guys love to know.
Real exciting. Yeah, I'm real excited. But anyways.
Is he, like, on something?
I don't know. Just keep going.
Everybody has to have an alter ego.
Alter
right?
ego.
And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr.
I can't keep going.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. What? He's just talking to kids, right?
No.
He's just talking to kids.
No.
Tell me that this is just, like, children's theater,
bro.
And I can get through it. I went to children's theater on Sunday with Cecily and a couple of her friends.
For her birthday.
For her birthday. Mm-hmm. She went to go see a Rapunzel. And once you are in the mindset of, oh, it's children's theater, mm-hmm. you can kind of accept anything. Like, yeah, these adults are talking like in a way that is not normal, mm-hmm. but they're talking to kids. It's children's theater.
No.
I can be okay with children's theater.
He's hosted the Nickelodeon
this
Awards
is,
in the
that's
past.
What this
now
is.
He's
not doing
he's passed over this year by Nickelodeon for John Cena.
What?
That time is over.
That's what this is. This is talking to children.
No, it's not.
And if I think about it that way, there's no problem at all with what he's saying here. This is just talking to children.
Unlimited.
No. Even then, it's a problem.
You got to be unlimited. You know, you got to have a thought process of being unlimited.
All right. So
when people
set it up
ask
well.
You, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know,
he's talking to kids. Who else would he be giving that message to?
I'm so pumped to be here tonight.
Right. He's talking to kids, to little kids.
Are you going to let me set my segment up or not?
So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation?
Why are you part of this, Sierra? Don't do this to your career. Nothing good can come of this.
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Why would he be answering that he's his own role model?
No, his alter ego is his role model.
Why would your alter ego be your role model? Is your alter ego supposed to be the opposite of you, like alter?
No. He answered the same way Danica Patrick did it. That's
not a good thing.
What bowl did I do way back when? The granddaddy of them all?
Yeah, the GoDaddy.com.
The granddaddy of them all.
the granddaddy of them all. The GoDaddy of them all.
When Danica Patrick was asked at our luncheon, hey, who were your role models growing up? Like, who did you really admire? And she said, well, I'll be honest, me.
I'm my own role model. Person for advice, Russell.
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited.
Maybe that's the problem. He's asking Mr. Unlimited for advice. Don't ask Mr. Unlimited for advice unless you are talking to kids at the Nickelodeon Awards.
He is truly in his own head.
And so as I said, I am worried that he can still be the leader and franchise quarterback of this team because you can't talk that way.
You set the tone very well for the segment. All I appreciate it. This segment, as you all know, the Emmy Award-winning segment the last 2 weeks that Salk came up with is Which Is Better, which was very fun. It was lighthearted. So, my alter ego... I thought of a segment called Which Is Worse.
What?
Yeah, which is worse.
So let me just be clear.
Yes.
I came up with a happy positive segment, which has been a lot
which
of fun the
better.
Last couple weeks. Which is better.
Right.
You created Which Is Worse.
Which is worse.
All right. Let's try it. I'm not leading this because I am a happy person.
You
are going to have to lead it.
Well,
you're making Howdy lead it?
Yes, just like Which Is Worse. He says the answers on Which Is Worse.
All right.
Which is worse? Jameis Winston eating his fingers... Or Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited is worse. It's worse than anything.
No, it's Mr. Not. Unlimited.
Yep, that's worse.
It's not. No, it's not.
What do you think is worse?
Dude, in his football uniform on the sideline, do you remember this?
That's a W. That's E1. That's E1. That's a W. How many people want to eat a W tonight? How many eat a W tonight?
And he started eating his fingers.
But isn't
he's like
it more
gagging himself?
Oh, isn't it more acceptable when it's not happening to your team?
Right, Andy did it in the heat of battle. He was excited. He got over. It's just overkill.
No, Jameis was worse.
I'm with you, Mr. Unlimited. Is pretty silly,
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
Way worse.
Unlimited.
Way worse. Way worse.
In the heat of battle. One's like premeditated, the other, and like probably went through several cuts to do this you're coordinating with another person. She comes in three times. You know that they did like a couple trial runs.
Yeah, this Russ was, this really was not the first time.
Unlimited.
It's not close. This is way worse.
Okay, good. Next.
Which is worse? Lawyer Malloy's draft announcement or Salk's his/your mouth episode yesterday.
Mine was not that bad. What
is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
Right.
or let me hear the other.
I'm Seahawk legend Lawyer Malloy coming to you live from Tacoma, Washington, my hometown and the hometown of the Lincoln Abe with the 41st pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Shaquem Griffin.
For some reason, that is the 41st pick.
I don't know. Very similar to yours yesterday.
Mine was bad.
No.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to say I was worse, and I'll give you a good reason why. I'm not messing with Lawyer. Pretty simple. I'm not messing with Lawyer.
You know what? I double down on that.
Yeah, let's totally, not mess with Lawyer.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Next.
Which is work? Scott Service,
which is worse,
I'm sorry. Scott Service swearing on our show last week.
Yes.
Or Bert Breer dropping a very large bomb that included the F word.
So this is a hard question because Bert's was way worse.
Albert Breer
is in Indianapolis, which I'm guessing based on John Clayton's description yesterday, does not feel like spring at all. I hear it's a little chilly there, Bert.
Yeah, well, you know, I came from a place where we've gotten 7 feet of snow in
the last
3 weeks. Yeah. So this might as well be Florida to me.
Whoa, dude, hold on.
Dump.
Oh, it's early.
Sorry.
Bert's reaction, though, kind of saves it. Scott didn't have a clue. He would have just kept on rolling.
What I try to do is be very honest and very transparent. I never, ever want to bully players and just try to tell them the truth. It may be tougher than the swallow, but at the end of the day, I think they respect that, and that's what I've always tried to do.
He would have gone for the rest of the interview and never noticed.
But the best thing, they had the same reaction.
Yeah.
Howdy, dump it. Howdy. He said, howdy, dump it.
I picked up the phone and talked to him after. He's like, you dumped that, right? You got rid of that? I'm really sorry about that. Did you dump that? Did you get rid of that?
Is that with Scott or with Bert?
With Scott.
Oh.
Bert couldn't care any less.
Bert is much worse.
Yes, it's much worse. The context. There's no reason to say that.
He's in the media.
Right. And there's no need to say that at all.
Okay, we got one last one. We got to sneak in here quickly.
Last one. Which is worse? John Clayton's role-playing coughing fit or Ed Orgeron pulling worms out of his mouth?
Well, hold on. I haven't heard. I've heard the Clayton. I have not heard Ed Orgeron.
What weapon do you think that you would be using?
A role-play group? What would
that hasn't gotten old at all. That has aged well.
Now, Ed Orgeron was telling a story pregame.
Where is Ed Orgeron now?
He's at LSU. He's always been at LSU.
No, it's not true. He's been all over the universe. He was at Ole Miss. He was at USC.
We've only known him at LSU. And this was Ed.
My senior year. It's kind of funny. After the practice, we had a spring game the next day, and I was looking for worms on the field. And my coach Bill, goes, my nickname's Baby. He goes, Baby, what are you doing here? I said, Coach, I'm looking for some worms. He goes, and there were some worms on the field. He goes, okay. Well, here's a big one here. He said, Baby, you going fishing? I said, no, Coach, I just got a little motivational speech I'm going to give to the team. So here's the deal. So we had a big deal that night in spring game. It was my senior year. I was the team captain, and I got up, and I said the story. There was two men fishing in ice holes in Alaska. And one was catching fish, and the other one wasn't. And he looks at the guy. He says, man, hey, how you catching all that fish? He said, man, I'm using worms. He goes, I'm using worms, too. He said, yeah, but I need to feed my family. He said, the only way I know how to feed my family is catch these fish, and I got to do whatever it takes. He said, I'm going to tell you my secret. Those worms got to be real warm before you put them on the hook.
What?
So I keep them in my mouth.
What?
To warm them up.
Then
I put them on the hook.
That is the worst thing.
I said, you know, just like that fisherman do whatever it takes for his family, to feed his family, I'll do whatever it takes to win. And I pulled out that big old worm. I had in my mouth. That thing was crawling around in between my teeth, man. I was so glad to get that worm out of my mouth, I promise you.
I'm going to vomit.
Okay, Blue 40. That's the end that of my
is,
segment.
That is the winner that, and the most disgusting thing we've ever played on this show.
We're not doing that segment again. Never. Blue 42 next.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for Coors Light's Blue 42. What was going on with Ed Orgeron, man? That guy is different, that's for sure.
That's what Captain Tom does up in Alaska.
I enjoy Ed Orgeron, I'm not going to lie.
He puts some worms up in his mouth, keep it warm. Wow. Did he figure out who Bebe was
no,
in that
who's
story?
Bebe?
Ed.
Oh.
Yeah, that was his nickname.
Seems like a Bebe.
You didn't hear him say that. My nickname was Bebe.
I did not catch that, no.
The coach came up to me and said, hey, Bebe.
It's his alter ego.
Yeah, better than Mr. Unlimited, I'll tell you that much. All right, three good football questions for Brock every day here at 7:45. Let's start with this one. The two new Seahawks coordinators, Brian Schottenheimer and Ken Norton Jr., yes. How will they be similar? How will they be different?
Yeah, they're going to be similar in the way that, Mike, the mode of communication goes through them. And that's been well documented with Schottenheimer, right? That a year ago you had some different voices. You had Darrell Bevell that was a co-OC and pass game guy, and Tom Cable that's a run game guy. And how do they intermix? And how do they handle Russ? Oh, by the way, Tater, Carl Smith, QB coach is in the mix too. You just had a lot of cooks in the kitchen. I think the same could be said in some ways defensively too. Chris Richard on the back end of that defense, and Michael Barrow, and it's always Pete Carroll's deal. And you know, and how does the Legion of Boom on the back end of the defense with all of the noise and all the opinion? How is that going to work with the front guys? And I think you bring in a Ken Norton, and there's going to be one voice. It's going to be Pete, and it's going to be Ken. And you know what? With Pete Carroll's back against the wall a little bit, with staff changes that I don't think he loved making, but he had to make, he brought in a guy that he was unbelievably comfortable with on that side of the ball. And I love what Bobby said. You know, lost in the whole Earl Thomas discussion was Bobby saying, you know what? Ken Norton went away. Right? He was under Pete Carroll's tutelage the whole time, and he went away, and he came back a little different guy, took some lumps. You know what? And he walked into a room, by the way, that's a little different from the one he left 2 years ago. You know what? We've taken some lumps. And, I think there's going to be a streamlined voice both offensively and defensively, and I think that's a welcome change.
All right, question number two. You know, one interesting thing that happens this week is the rookies who started off with rookie minicamp a couple weeks ago now actually have to go against the veteran players. And I know it's not full-scale contact or anything like that, but of all the rookies, who will find it easiest to assimilate their speed to the speed of the game other than the punter?
Yeah, I think it's two. I think they're fairly obvious as well. I think that's Shaquem, because that's what he does. That is what his whole game is predicated on anyway. It's going to be a whole lot harder for him when the pads come on and guys start grabbing him and just the massive amount of strength at every position in the NFL. But in this drill, with just helmets on, the speed should be no issue for Shaquem. The other one is Rasheem Green. They're playing defensive line and running 4-7, and especially playing inside and outside and doing the things that he can do. I don't think he will have any challenges when it comes to the speed at the line of scrimmage either. Both of them, it'll be the brute force. It'll be the physicality by every single player at every position, including wide receivers in the league, that will be like, whoa, this is a grown man's league. I'm not in college anymore. But I think both of those will assimilate to the speed quite easily.
All right, question number three. A lot made yesterday of the fact that Shaquille Griffin moved from right cornerback to left cornerback, which is really the number one corner in the Seahawks system. How big a difference is there between the two?
Yeah, there's a significant difference because you face mostly right-handed quarterbacks. In fact, the entire league is nothing now but right-handed quarterbacks.
There's not one?
And right-handed, no. Kellen Moore last year was the lonely only.
Now
he's a coach, yes, on his way to becoming probably head coach within the next 5 years collegiately. But because right-handed quarterbacks tend to throw to their right a little bit more, you're going to want your best corner on that side. And it's not just in Seattle's scheme. Josh Norman, a lot of the greats through the years, are going to play on that side of the ball. You know, Mike Holmgren was of the belief. He had Steve Young in San Francisco, so I was not his first lefty. But he was of the belief that he wanted a lot of those reads and progressions naturally to my arm. So he had to flip a lot of things over, and I, threw a little bit more tendency-wise, not 100% or 80%, but, it's probably 60-40. And much like you put your best hitter three or four in a lineup, because they get a few more at-bats, you want your best, most efficient corner being on that side where he's going to take a few more at-bats than the guy on the other side.
All right, those are our three questions we do with Brock every day. Coors Light's at Blue 42. I got to tell you, I got Clayton in my head now on the names of some of these rookies.
Right.
I mean, he has said Rashard Penny.
No,
he's done it so many times.
Don't even put it out there.
But it's now in my head. This is why I ended up with the Bobby
Wagner
thing
yesterday. I know, when I said Rasheem Green, you looked at me like,
Because it's in my head. And I don't want to make an excuse. I really don't, because I screwed that thing up yesterday.
Excuses are for what?
I know, 10 different ways from Sunday.
Yes. Markievicz Bingo.
Right, but you were in my head because you've said it wrong so many times.
What?
The name in the mouth, like 8,000 times. You said it wrong.
Have I?
Yes.
Get your name out my mouth.
That's not right. You keep saying it like that.
Oh, so you really? So you're blaming me right
now? No, I'm not blaming you.
No, that's what you're trying to
do. Keep my name out your mouth.
I'm not smart enough to handle all of these things being said wrong, because eventually it just gets stuck in my head that way.
Let me hear what you said to Bobby again.
No, we don't need to play that. That's just sad. There's no need for that. Let's move on.
Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
It's terrible. Just awful. I screwed the whole thing up. Ugh, just embarrassing. All right, let's do this. Let's let you guys embarrass yourselves for a little while instead of us. We've certainly taken our fair share. I want to ask a very simple question about the Mariners, and I'm hoping I could get some of the answers, because I keep reading on Twitter and even on the text machine. I think I've heard from a little of you from you guys that this team is capturing your attention more than they have recently. How come? Does it feel that different? I mean, why do you think this team is winning right now? Why do you think this team is 8 games above 500? Well, previous iterations here over the last few years have not been, even though some of those teams looked better on paper maybe than this team does. Because on paper, this team's got some issues, certainly in the starting pitching, probably in the relief corps, certainly. And as deep as they've been, they really haven't hit as well as you would want them to. So why is this team having success? And more success than the last couple of years. What is it that you think has led to it? 206-421-3776. I'd like to have a little extended Mariners conversation, but we're going to trust you guys to make it possible. The 8 o'clock audience, we're counting on you. 206-421-3776. Brock and Saul.